this morning, begin a series entitled The Infrastructure of Growth. The infrastructure of growth in Scripture has already been read out of Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Infrastructure is basically a $2 word that means organization. It is a method of organizing anything in order to function at its best. Infrastructure is something that we all need in our lives. Community, church, everything else. Everything requires infrastructure. And when you are dealing with growth, as we are trying to deal with, it is absolutely important that we are doing all that we can to make sure we are prepared in advance for what God is going to entrust us with. A lot of churches, organizations, movements never prepare for what they are looking for. They prepare according to what they have in hopes of getting more, which is not the way that it works. You have to prepare for what you're looking towards as if you already got it. So you should have mega ministry while you have a few folk. That makes sense? Okay. So you shouldn't say we want all these folk and not put things in place to make sure you're ready to receive them. That doesn't make sense. It would be like me, Fred, cooking gumbo, knowing, right, that the only real way to do it is not in some small pot. You can't do no small, not for real, y'all. It's one of those things that you need to make sure you got not just a big pot, but a big steel pot or a big aluminum pot. And you know it may only be about three or four of y'all, but you are planning in your mind that just in case folk come around, just in case people want to drop by, you got plenty. So you've what? Got plenty for yourself and plenty for anybody else just in case folk show up. And that's how you prepare. Because by the time you done fixed all this stuff, now you're what? Ready to receive all that is able to come. And you have what you need in order to be effective, right? Yeah. Infrastructure. Infrastructure helps us to be most effective. Now, if we don't have proper infrastructure, then we're going to fail at being able to effectively grow. Now, as we go through this month, I want you to understand that there are some things that are foundational that are necessary in infrastructure. There's some things you just can't get around no matter what. But also remember that when you're dealing with growth, you're also dealing with the fact that you have to be flexible enough to know what is happening at all times. You can't just say that this method that you used 20, 30 years ago, right, will apply to this day. Because the truth is, it has nothing to do with whether or not anybody thinks it's a bad idea, because it's not. It just may not apply to what you're trying to reach today. Okay? Now, some people, I got up here an iPad, iPhone, and a Bible. I got my scripture on my iPad and my iPhone, but I also have my actual physical Bible. Is one better than the other? Because as far as I'm concerned, right now up here, I got three Bibles. And depending on if I open up all the apps on my phone and on my iPad, I really got about seven versions of the said Bible. It's about what will be most effective as you prepare. So some people are not going to pick up a physical Bible, even though I believe they should. They still might not, because the trend is most people don't want to read anything out of print. Which means that you got people that are what? The Kindle people of the world. But you got to be able to reach Kindle people just like you have those that believe that the physical, tangible Bible is still necessary. You need to be able to do it all, because growth happens when it wants to happen. And sometimes it happens so fast that we may not be ready for how it might overtake us. Prove the point. Glad you told me to prove the point. Listen, y'all read the text, right? I assume y'all read the text, right? Okay, cool. So y'all read the text. The text comes up with a very simple problem that every church has, no matter if it's big or small. Ready for it? Simple problem. Every church has it. Folk are complaining because stuff ain't moving fast enough. You got widows that are present to get what they need from the food pantry. Yeah, let me modernize this for you. They're coming to the food pantry to get what they need for the week. Plus, they're having a meal as well. And everybody's sitting around tables. But here's the problem. Problem is, nothing's moving fast enough. Some people are not getting what they need, what they're expecting, because they came at the right time when they were supposed to, and stuff's just not moving. And you got disciples who are overwhelmed because they're trying to preach, they're trying to teach, they're trying to do this, they're trying to do that, and try to serve tables at the same time. It kind of gets messy when you try to look over your points for your sermon while you're trying to help somebody with this and help somebody over here. And then you get frustrated because somebody isn't over here when they need to be, and someone ain't over here when they need to be. And all of a sudden you got to pick this up on top of this, on top of that. And one day they got smart and they just stopped and said, look, here's what's happening. Everybody complaining because folk ain't getting what they need. We can't do it all. Folk are getting neglected. We need some help. And let me go ahead and throw this out before I even get to a single point. I don't care how resourceful you are. Everybody needs help. I don't care how easy people make it look. Everybody needs help. And I don't care how effective people are because they are high functioning at what they do. Everybody needs help. The disciples said, look, we can't preach, teach, and pray and do this. See, and here's the funny part. Before, they used to be the gophers, but that was when Jesus was alive. And when Jesus was on the earth, and when Jesus was doing all this stuff, they were the gophers. So they actually, and it just dawned on me, they actually understood the stress of trying to serve folk because they did it. But when Jesus went away, they got promoted, if you want to call it that, to now what? Telling the people about the word of God, performing signs and wonders and preaching and teaching and all that stuff. You are moving on up. You haven't forgotten how to do it, but guess what? You can't do it all. So they stop. It's like, okay, find seven men. This is according to this text. Find seven men. Right? Now look at this. That they got, and these are qualifications. Qualifications go like this. Good reputation. Good reputation. Good reputation. Full of the Spirit. And they're wise. Nothing in there talks about their educational background. Nothing in there talks about their other gifts or competencies. Three things that were important. That they had a good reputation. / good character, that they were full of the Spirit, and that they had wisdom. And they found seven that fit the role. And when they found those seven attended to what? The tables. the organization of making sure that nobody was left behind. And guess what happened? It kept growing and it kept moving. Because you don't hear about this ever again. Because when you look at how the church kept moving and how it kept growing, the people away kept growing, you never heard about this issue ever again. Because they found initially 7 people that could handle it. Which means that over time they ended up finding other people that could handle this type of business. Which means that the movement was able to go forward effectively because everybody was in their roles and function at their best. There is nothing worse than having an organization, a church, a grouping, whatever, having people that are out of place, not because they really wanted to be, but because their desire to help caused them to move into stuff they were probably not suited for. And then you have people that have the gifts, but refuse to do anything because they're worried about whether or not they're able to do it or if they need to, and they have what it takes. Church, every person got a role. I'm gonna say it again. Every person has got a role. Every person has a place. Every person has something to offer, and everybody has the ability to do what is necessary for the purposes of the kingdom of God. So we're looking for some folk. I know I got leaders up there, but I don't want to just say leaders. I want to say we're looking for some people that are needed for this growth. There are 6 types of people, 6 pillars, 6 types of folk that are needed for the purpose of growth. First one, you need some servants. Yes. You need some servants. Some people that all they do is serve. Yes. Listen, out of those 7, there was one guy that we know really well. There's one guy we know really well, and that's Stephen. Study later and you will look at what? You'll look at Stephen in a different light, right? And when you look at Stephen in this different light, you'll see that he goes later and begins to preach and do all this stuff at the Sanhedrin and basically told the religious leaders in no uncertain terms, you and all of your foolishness can go straight to you know where. Just read it. Just read it one time. Don't just read the part when, you know, he done ended the sermon. Read the whole thing. Read the entire chapter. He unleashed on these people and they were what? So hot that they went ahead and killed him because he stood for what Jesus was really about. But before that happened, he was just another servant serving the tables. Servants don't need to be seen. Servants don't need notoriety. Servants don't need to be popular. They do what they do, do it well, do it efficiently, and keep on doing it. Let me take it one more step. The hardest thing that I've ever had to deal with as a pastor and being a church kid that grew up and was involved in everything and then eventually got into ministry and eventually got into stuff, I had to deal with this one messed up thing. I was a part of the 10%. What's the 10%? It's usually about 10% of people that do all the work in the church. They come every time the church doors open. They serve in every capacity they could possibly serve because they believe in what God is doing, not only in their lives, but in the life of the church. And they keep coming. And I've always asked myself, and I asked my grandfather, like, why does it seem like it's only 10% when it's like we got so many folk? I don't care how big or small a church is. It seems like we got enough people to do what we need to do. And if everybody would just function in their own stuff. And I realize that it's because some people don't have the heart of a servant.
Yes.
Because some people need to be seen. And they won't show up unless it's a guarantee that it'll be a photo op. Y'all got quiet. Some people don't want. Okay. Lori, I'm getting it off my chest. And it ain't even here. It's in the community. You know how when you start doing stuff for the Lord and you really want to serve God, and all of a sudden people that are not even involved with stuff and you're really trying to serve the community, they start seeing you doing stuff and they try to tell you, you can't do this, can't do that, and that you got this little thing going on, and oh, this is cute that you got this little cute thing going on, but then all of a sudden God blesses you to be able to do more and to be about more. Then all of a sudden they start calling you and they start talking to you saying like, hey, how can we help? And we're like, well, when we look for you, you didn't want to see us. Because real servants don't look for the photo op. They look for the opportunity to say, I am the hands and feet of God. Servants are willing to do whatever is necessary because they love God. Let me move it along. Second type of person you need strategists. You need strategists. You need people that are able to look at a thing and be able to maneuver, place, do this, do that. Get people in the right spot. My greatest strength and my greatest gift is not even preaching and teaching. It is being a strategist, because I'm able to watch people be who they are. And say, well, maybe their greatest assets are used over here and not over here. Everybody don't need to be in the kitchen. Y'all know where I'm going, right? Why doesn't everybody need to be in the kitchen? Because everybody don't know how to boil water. Everybody don't know how to cook. Everybody, I get it. You've made enough food in your own house to make sure that you alive. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to like what you put out there, because my palate is a little different. You know, you want to put salt on everything. No, throw a little pepper every once in a while, a little garlic over here. It'll work out. Everybody can't do that. People are willing, but you may not need to be up in there. It's just an example, y'all. It's just an example. Look, everybody can't do certain things, and that's fine. But here it is, when you have people that are saying, how can we really become effective? Let me throw this out here. You need to start exposing yourself for the gifts you have. Some people have gifts that have not yet been discovered because people are unwilling to actually say what they are. You're scared, because then if anybody ever knew, you would have to what? No. We need you. If you're creative, oh God, yes, we need you. If you have gifts and talents and skills that the Bible lists in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, my God, bring it to the table. If you are hospitable, I know you can be on the door and smile to somebody as an usher. If you have the ability to get on your knees and pray and know that something will move because your prayer gets to heaven, then you need to be laying hands on folk and praying for them, not just the pastor, but you need to be able to do it too, because God hears you. If you have but the only way is going to work. Strategists need to know their assets. The disciples said, we can't do this. So what we need is 7 people that have the following criteria to handle this business. And not only that, they had the criteria, and because they were handling the business, they also showed an acumen to be organized enough to make it work. That's moving your assets into the right place. That is moving people into the right spots to be most effective for kingdom service. You need discerning people. It's the third thing. You need people with discernment. Now, I'm going to give some people probably a different definition than you ever heard, or you may have heard this. Discernment is not just figuring out something spiritual is happening. No, it is having insight into knowing that what's happening is not the only thing happening. I got to be able to know the difference between a disagreement between two members and what is behind the disagreement. Some disagreements ain't really about personality conflicts. You know, most disagreements in the church are really about the devil sowing seed of discord just to see if you're unwilling to try to work through it so you can get to the common goal. That's why I don't listen to a whole bunch of people talking about he said, she said. Because what I know is the same thing that Jesus talked about with Peter. I've been quoting this forever. Peter, you're going to fail. But here's the key part. The reason you're going to fail is because you can't stand up against it. But I've prayed for you. And the reason I pray for you is because I know that the devil's intention is to sift you all like wheat. But I prayed for you that when you get through this, your faith won't fail. And when you get through this, that you'll be able to come back and what? Strengthen the brothers. You got to be able to discern that sometimes when God is blessing and when God is allowing you to roll in your life and all that kind of stuff, you also have to discern that somewhere along the line, there is something that is coming and you have to be prepared at all times. Don't just shout when it's good. Shout when it ain't so good, because you know that if you can get through it, God will work it out. And you need people that have enough discernment among you to be able to say, you know what? Don't let this thing fester. Work it out. Get down on your knees. Make sure that we can what? Reconcile this thing and make sure we can move ahead. We ain't got to agree on everything, but the one thing we ought to agree on is that if God is working in our lives, the one thing we need to do is get to the place where the Lord wants us. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about we. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about we. We got to get there. We got to make it to what God has for us. We have got to arrive at the promise. We have got to be able to cross over into the promised land. We have got to obtain all that God has promised us and not allow things to shut us down. We have got things to do, and we need people that are able to say, don't let that thing distract you. Keep your eyes fixed on what God has in store for us. The discernment is in that text. We need people in place to make the thing move, because this murmuring will take away from the intentions of what we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is meet the needs of people that have needs of all sorts. We don't want them discouraged because things run out or because it seems like we don't care. We need to make sure we got what we need in place to let them know that no matter how big it gets, we care. You need wise people. You need wise people. One of the markers is we need people that are wise. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is not age. Wisdom is not age. Age just tells people that you've lived a long time. Wisdom is not age. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. I don't want you can be an old fool And if you and if we all truthful up in here, we know a few old fools. And I am saying it this way because I get tired of generations fighting each other and acting as if younger generations don't know anything and don't even have wisdom about a thing. Come on, come on, look. I know Alexander Graham Bell is credited with inventing the telephone. But even the telephone has gone through a metamorphosis over years, right? Hardly anybody has a rotary phone in their house. Most people use cell phones. And most people use smartphones. And some of us in here, if it wasn't for a young person, you wouldn't know how to use a smartphone. So guess what? Wisdom is not age. It is the practical application of knowledge. So stop all that fighting, whatever, and try to. Well, they don't know. No, they folk know stuff, and they know how to apply said knowledge. You need them all. You need young wise folk. You need old wise folk. You need all types of people that have the capacity to be able to take experiences, information, and knowledge and be able to apply it in situations that will cause things to flow as they ought. Because if you don't have wisdom on board, then guess what? You're flying by the seat of your pants. How in the world can you go forward when you got people that have experienced things in the past that might be information necessary to move ahead? Everything from the past is not obsolete, but the way it's applied may be the key to moving things ahead. Now, I don't know if you're paying attention to the world like I'm paying attention to it, but I'm looking out and I'm watching things going on in our society that remind me and give me indicators that the things that were fought for in the 60s and in the 50s and in the 70s and all that stuff is up and coming up out of the grave, it appears like. Yes, racism isn't dead, but we thought we at least had white nationalism at bay. We thought civil rights was at least on its way to making some more sense. But now we live in a society where it's going to be necessary to have some wise folk who are not going to sugarcoat what was the past and bring able to bring some stuff to the present and say, hey, here's what it was then. And I know there's more stuff in place, but it's the same devil. And you need to understand when you're going up against it that X, Y, and Z is necessary. You hear what I'm saying? In the church, it doesn't mean that certain things from the past don't apply. It's how you apply it that will make a difference. You need people that are wise. You need some folk that are faithful. I'll make this one quick. You need faithful folk. You need folk that are not going to come up with 18 million excuses as to why they can't give God what's due unto them and wait for it. Nobody in here gets to judge what that looks like. Because there's some people that are extremely faithful and you don't even realize the stuff they do because they connect their faithfulness to their servanthood. Faithfulness means that all of a sudden when you are going through your stuff and you are facing a test, I'm going to be faithful to God over anything else. Let me say it a different way. Faithfulness is not rooted in your set or where you go to church. You can show up here every day and not be faithful to God. Your faithfulness is rooted in how I'm going to serve God first. And as I serve God, then I am able to do what? Serve where I'm sent. See, people run away from churches because things don't go their way. That may actually test their faithfulness quotient. If God really did send you here, then are you going to be faithful to what God tells you? And then in turn, allow that to translate into where you're sent. Stephen and the other six were called to serve tables, and according to the text, they didn't do anything else. They stayed faithful when people were not appreciative. They stayed faithful when folk didn't say thank you. They stayed faithful when folk didn't embrace them for being able to serve them. They kept at it because the mission that God has given is greater than what people do and do not do. I'm like most preachers. I wish that everything that I did when I preached, it caused people to run around the church a couple times and, you know, everybody just get lit up when, you know, you hit a note and then all that kind of stuff. But what I've discovered over 20 years is that that's not why I'm in it. I'm not in it whether people shout or not. I'm in it because the key is people need the word of God. And whether people like it or not, I got to remain faithful to the task of rightly dividing the word of truth in season and out of season. Even when I'm hurting, I keep on saying it because I believe in this more than where I'm planted. But guess what? I'm going to stay faithful to God. And in doing so, I'm going to do everything I can to let that faithfulness be reflected in where I'm planted. And that's what some people need to hear today. Now, I know you are struggling with some stuff and you are wondering why it ain't going this way or that way. Let me tell you something. If God has called you to a thing and purposed you to do a thing, keep on doing that thing. Because when you keep on doing that thing, God will use you to be a blessing where you are planted. If you're faithful over a few things, the Lord will make you ruler over many. But the last thing that's necessary, and I'm done, is you need to be spirit-filled. Let me say it a different way. You need to have the Holy Ghost. You know, for whatever reason, we want to wait until Pentecost to talk about the Holy Ghost. So you ain't got to wait till Pentecost to talk about the Holy Ghost. Because let's be honest. The only reason that some of us do what we do for the Lord to begin with is because of the fire that comes from the Holy Ghost. Because I can tell you right now, I've preached in enough places that have been silent and stoic to try to quit. Because I'm wondering, does anybody hear what the Lord's got to say? You got to get, there's got to be something more to this. It can't just be you're here because you're out of routine and you show up out of routine and it's something for you to do. No, you got to have something inside of you that drives you to do what you do. And I don't care what you thought it was. Let me tell you something. To preach the gospel, teach the gospel, to serve people, to love on people that may not love you back, to be able to be around folk that may be finicky day by day, you need something more than just showing up. You need the Lord to walk with you. And the best part of knowing that the Lord walks with me is not that he just walks with me, but because the Holy Ghost lives in me, I got something that can push me and keep me going. Even when I feel all by myself, the Lord reminds me, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. And that's why I get happy, because every now and then I can thank God that in my troubled times he was right there. So whenever I feel alone, I know that no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to
to leave me alone. That's why I shout. That's why I preach like I do. That's why I teach like I do. That's why I give God glory. Because when I look back over all that he's done in my life, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here now. So don't worry about what people may say, what they might do. You better thank God that the Spirit of the living God is living down on the inside of you, working on the inside of you, giving you power to do what you do, and giving you the ability to do what you do. I know it's tough, but thank God for the Holy Ghost.
You can't sing like you sing without the oil being on you. You can't pray like you pray without that. Some folk be like, that was you. Be like, no. Nobody. If you knew what I've been through, you know that wasn't me. Find 7 people with good character. Wisdom. But guess what? Full of the Holy Ghost. You need God's Spirit to do this. So when you think you can't, you got somebody pushing you. And not pushing you from the outside, guess what? Pushing you from the inside. You're going to make it. So in this infrastructure, you need servants. You need strategists. You need discerning people. You need wise people. You need faithful people. But guess what? You need some Holy Ghost filled people. Amen.